Okay, well, we're moving on to a new set of teaching this week. We're going to look at inheritance and what our inheritance is. We've been looking at Romans 12, 1 and 2 for a long time, and in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it talks about knowing God and knowing His will for our lives. It talks about worship and service, and they're exactly the same word. When we worship God, we serve Him. When we serve Him, we worship Him. And we need to know what the will of God for our lives is, His eternal will for us, so that we can worship Him and serve Him in spirit and in truth. His will is my eternal destiny and my inheritance. So if I want to have everything that belongs to me as a son of God, as a child of God, then I need to know what His will is, and I need to embrace my inheritance. Joshua led God's people, the children of Israel, to possess their inheritance. And one of the things God's saying to us is that our identity and our destiny is to be a Joshua generation who lead people in to receive their inheritance in God and then to bring that to the rest of the world. Because the children of Israel should never have stopped in a small piece of land in Palestine. They should have taken that, what they got from their relationship with God, and taking it to the rest of the world and been a light to the nations. But they didn't. And we have taken up that mantle to actually be that light to the nations. An inheritance, definition from the dictionary, says something that is or may be inherited. Property passing at the owner's death to the heir or those entitled to succeed, a legacy, the genetic characters transmitted from parent to offspring, taken collectively, something as a quality, a characteristic, or other immaterial possession received from progenitors or predecessors as if by succession. And this is just a dictionary definition. Portion, birthright, or heritage. Now the Hebrew word for inheritance talks about it being of possessing property and a heritage, and it's used 273 times in the Old Testament, and 183 of those times relates to land as a gift. There's another word, a Hebrew word, yarash, to seize, to dispossess, to take possession of, to inherit, and that's used 255 times, and 210 times relates to military action. So in a sense, our inheritance is given to us as a gift by God's grace, but has to be received by taking possession of it. And there's a big difference between what God wants to give us and sometimes what we're willing to receive because of the way we think about ourselves. Because if you don't think you're worthy to receive an inheritance, you won't be able to receive it. So it's really important that we understand what God says about us. To receive an inheritance, usually someone has to die. When there's a will or a testament, it's read after someone dies, and the details is read of who gets what. And depending on what that will is, depends what you're going to get. And if you're not very in tune with the person who may have written the will, you may not get anything. But because God has written our will, and because Jesus died for us to receive an inheritance, we can actually receive it all. Because God wants us to have it. Biblically speaking, an inheritance contains a birthright and a blessing. And we could look at what that is in the future. The firstborn received a double portion. Now that sounds really good, but it isn't necessarily so good. Because the firstborn also receives judgment. And the secondborn receives blessing. Jesus, our firstborn, received judgment so that we can receive secondborn blessing. Hebrews 9:15 says, "For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place," that's the death of Jesus, "for the redemption," which means the buying back out of slavery, "of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of an eternal inheritance." So our inheritance goes back from before creation, So it's from eternity, and we'll go back to eternity after everything's wrapped up and done. It isn't just about this little bit in the middle, although this little bit in the middle is really important because we're living it. But we need to know what is our eternal inheritance from the past and what will it be in the future. For where a will is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. And that death, God died on our behalf so that we could inherit. Jesus died so we could inherit. What do we inherit? Well, if we don't know, if we've not read the will, if we've not seen what's written, then we won't know what belongs to us. And many of us don't know that we have an inheritance. You know, there's programs on the TV that they try and trace people who have lots and lots of money waiting for them that they didn't know because no one told them. And we need to tell and speak out to the whole world what their inheritance is in a relationship with God. What did he leave us? Because of Jesus died, what did he leave us? Well, eternal life, starting now. We don't have to wait. We get it now. Redemption, being brought back from a position of having no inheritance as slaves and orphans to having been reconciled with God in a relationship to receive what he wants us to have. Just like the prodigal son, he went off into the world and wasted his inheritance on himself. And then he came, had a light bulb moment and actually said, actually it's better where I came from. And he went back with the heart that says, I'm willing to be a servant and live as a servant in my father's house. But of course he went back and the father, no way, just welcomed him as a servant. He actually killed the fatted calf, put a ring on his finger, new clothes, and gave him back that relationship with him and welcomed him back in the family. And God wants to welcome us back into his family so that we receive that relationship, that family, our destiny and purpose, and his mantle. Jesus left his mantle for his people to pick up. And a mantle is a cloak of authority to fulfill God's purpose. And he's left it for us. Now let's look at what belongs to God. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord and all it contains. Psalm 22:28, for the kingdom is the Lord's and he rules over the nations. Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. Three things there that belonged to God. Let's see what God gave to Jesus for his inheritance. Psalm 2:8, ask of me and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possessions. Remember, Satan offered that to Jesus because it was Satan's to offer before the cross because Adam had given it away. But when Jesus went to the cross, he took it back and now it belongs to him. John 16:15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So everything that belonged to the Father now belongs to the Son, and he wants to disclose it and make us aware that that now also belongs to us. 1 John 1:12, for as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed in his name. So for those who've received Jesus, put their faith in him to heal, forgive, make them whole, they have the right to become children of God. Now, when you've the right to something as a child, you're not an orphan. You have a right to family inheritance. And as God's children, we have a right to the family inheritance. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also of God and fellow heirs with Christ. So we are like brothers with Jesus and joint heirs. We share in his inheritance. And everything that belonged to the Father belongs to Jesus and we share in it. That's awesome. Think of everything that belonged to the Father and we have a share in that. Now, only if you believe. Because if you don't believe you're good enough or part of the family, then you won't believe that you have a right to those things. And it is a right. It's not something we scrape in by, well, maybe God will let me in. Actually, no, we have the right to be his children. Acts 26:18. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. We're in a process of being transformed and changed, but we have been forgiven and we have an inheritance. If we've stepped out of darkness and stepped into light, God wants us to know what that inheritance is. He wants to know what belongs to us as his children. Because God is not a stingy father. He didn't write a will that says, give them 5% or give them 10% or even 50%. He actually says in the will, it all belongs to you. Just think, the whole of everything, it belongs to us because we're his children. And he wants to hold nothing back. Galatians 3:29. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. The whole thing of Abraham, we'll see, is really important because it's a covenant relationship that brings us into that relationship too. Galatians 4:7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave. Now, we'll see in looking at this series, this is a really important thing to get hold of. We're not slaves. But quite often we think of ourselves as slaves. We're not orphans, but we think of ourselves as orphans. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. We're heirs to a fantastic inheritance. 2 Peter 1:4. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. And it isn't just talking about physical things on the earth that we inherit. We're supposed to be like him. We're supposed to inherit his very nature, his character, his authority, his power. Who he is, we're supposed to be as his children. And that's amazing. God created the universe. And we can become partakers of those who become creative. And in our eternal inheritance, there is a lot of creativity that needs to be expressed. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For as many as the promises of God, they find all their yes in him, Christ. Every promise is yes. God doesn't say no to any promise that's in Christ Jesus. He says yes to them all. And it goes on to say, well, we say amen. Because we have to add our amen, our so be it, to receive those promises. To receive all that belongs to us as children of God. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 2:6. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. It is not just an earthly inheritance that we have. It's a heavenly one. So we can have an earthly and an heavenly inheritance at the same time. God wants us to know that that is where the blessings of God are going to be released into this realm, from that spiritual realm, and therefore we need to access both. Who does not receive an inheritance? Slaves and orphans. Slaves can receive no inheritance because they have no fathers to give them in. Orphans, again, no homes, no fathers, they cannot receive an inheritance. Who receives an inheritance? Sons. And they receive an inheritance of birthright and blessing. But sons need a father. How can we be true sons without a true relationship with our father? And that's where most of us struggle. In the relationship we have with our father. Now, some of that's because of our earthly fathers, but actually, even if you've had a fantastic earthly father, you are actually still born spiritually illegitimate, separate from your earthly and heavenly father, and separate from that heavenly home that belongs to you. Now, God wants to do something about that. God is our Father. He wants us to know him as Father. I'd encourage you to read John chapters 13 to 17 because it talks a lot about what our inheritance is in there and the relationship that Jesus had with the Father and that he wants us to have with him. I haven't got time to go into that today, but I'd encourage you to read it. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is no other way than through Jesus and through the salvation that he did on the cross for us. No other way. We can't do it our own way. We can't find another way. There is no other way. It can only be received through Jesus. And it says in verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. That is our inheritance, to know him, to know the Father. And that word know does not mean intellectual knowledge. It means to know in a biblical, intimate way. To actually know by personal experience and encounter that we have a Father and we can see him. It's our inheritance to be able to see the Father. Think about it. To see the Father and to know him, that is what God wants us to have. And Jesus is the only way. Because he's opened up his life as to access, so we can have access to the Father. Now, to understand our inheritance, we need to look at the beginning, which is Genesis, and see what God's original intention was for us. Also, we look at the end and see Revelation and see how it all ends up fulfilled. And you'll see a lot of parallels between the beginning and the end. And God wants us to live in the middle and to bring what was in the middle to see it fulfilled. And we have to ask, what happens in between? Because we can see what it was in the beginning, and actually we can see what it says in the end, but what in the middle? This is what concerns us, and we need to see that it is about restoration. God wants to restore to us what was originally intended in the garden so that we can find final consummation of that in the eternal garden of God. But in the middle, there's a process of restoration. Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, let them rule. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, over every living thing that moves on the earth. That was God's original intention. Genesis 2:7 says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed a man who he had formed. Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. Now, I want you to get hold of something here. God planted a garden towards the east in Eden. Eden wasn't the garden. And then a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden and then flowed out from there to the rest of the world. It's important to get hold of this because this talks about our spiritual and our earthly inheritance. You see, Ezekiel 28:13 describes that garden. You were in Eden, the garden of God. And this is talking to Lucifer. Satan, you were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the firestones. Eden was on the holy mountain of God and was the garden of God in the heavenly places, in that realm. Those two gardens of heaven and earth overlapped and intersected. That is where our spiritual and our physical inheritance comes together. So we have access to go back to that place now where we were removed, because you see what happened. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took man and put him in the garden in Eden. That garden that was what we call the Garden of Eden was the garden that God created for man to relate with him and then to see that rule come from there to fill the earth. And he was told to cultivate it and to keep it. And then verse Genesis 3:8, it says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They had a relationship with God. They walked. What garden did they walk in? Both gardens. They could walk in the garden of God, and God walked in their garden, because these realms overlapped. Now we know in our place now that the heart becomes the garden where God wants to engage us in. But actually then it was a physical place. What happened? As a result of sin, Genesis 3:23, therefore the Lord God sent him out from the garden in Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out. At the east of the garden in Eden, he stationed the cherubim, a flaming sword which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. So where was the tree of life? In the garden of God. Where is it now? In the heavens. And he put cherubim and a flaming sword, which was a living creature, to guard so that Adam and Eve could not go back into that place and eat the fruit of the tree of life and live forever in a sinful state. So he removed that from them. Of course, Jesus has opened that back up for us, that we can now eat from that fruit and engage in that relationship that Adam and Eve were excluded from because of their sin. So when we get forgiveness for our sins and reconciliation back into relationship with God, it opens up again our access to the garden of God, and it opens up the garden of our hearts, access to God to come in and relate with us and have fellowship with us and walk with us. So let's look at the end. Revelation 21:1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. Shame for those of you who like boats, but there we go. Verse 3, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the home of God is among men. He will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. So what is the end? Just like it was at the beginning, God walking in the different gardens with man. The home of God dwelling with man. And man dwelling in the home of God. Revelation 22:1. Again, imagery which talks similar to the beginning. He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life. And there will be no longer any night. There will be no longer any need of light or lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. So at the end, we get to do what we were told we could do in the beginning, to bring the rule of God into the universe. And God will come so that there's no need for light. Because in Genesis, it says, let there be light. And then a couple of days later, he makes the sun and the moon and the stars. Or remakes them and reforms them. So actually, in eternity, we will live in the power of creative light, which is God himself. He is with us. Acts 3:20 says this, that he may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of the restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. So Jesus is not going to return until everything was restored to original condition. Think of that. Relationship, the gardens, the river of life, the tree of life, restored access to the home of God, to relationship with God. Our inheritance, to be the image of God on earth as it is in heaven. It says to be blessed, empowered to prosper, to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, to subdue or overcome, to possess and to rule. To have a relationship with God in heaven and on earth. To live in heaven, on earth, simultaneously. Because that is what Adam had at the beginning. He lived in the realms of heaven and earth so that earth could be like heaven. Now it's really important that you look at first mention in the Bible when it comes to looking at anything. So first mention of inheritance was in Genesis 31. In verse 13 it says, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar. He's talking to Jacob here. You anointed a pillar where you made a vow to me. Now arise, leave this land, and return to the land of your birth. Verse 14, Rachel and Leah said to him, do we still have any portion or inheritance in our father's house? I want to ask you the question, do you have any portion and inheritance in your father God's house? And if you do, where is his house? And if Bethel is an important place because it actually means the house of God. And what is the land of our birth? Well, it isn't this world, actually. Because in a sense, we were birthed in eternity before we were ever birthed in physicality. What is our Father's house? It isn't the church building. It's actually us. But also it's our home in heaven. Our heritage is a heritage of covenant that stretches back to Adam. Abraham's covenant is our connection to our inheritance. And we'll see that get outworked. Genesis 12:12, the Lord said to Abraham, I think it's 1, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make you a great name, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. That is the good news. That is the gospel. That is what God wants the world to have, a blessing, a birthright, an inheritance from him. Verse 7, it says, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there. That was the first altar built in that land. Where was it? Bethel. Because that is where God appeared to Abraham, was Bethel, the house of God. Now, Jacob, in Genesis 28:10 says, Jacob departed from Beersheba and he came to a certain place. That certain place was not a haphazard place. He was going back to the place that his father, grandfather Abraham, met God. And he spent the night there and he had a dream. And behold, a ladder was sat on the earth and its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And in verse 16, it says, Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And our relationship with God brings us back to a relationship where heaven is open, where we have access, and that we become ourselves a gate of heaven and the house of God. And in verse 13, it says, behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. And the land on which you lie, I will give it to your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and the east, north and south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Sounds very familiar to what God said to Adam in the garden. Because actually it's the same covenant blessing and the same commission to take out God's blessing to fill the earth. And God was reaffirming Jacob's connection to Isaac and to Abraham through covenant. I am the Lord, the God of your father. And God is saying that to us today. In verse 12, God prophesies what was going to happen to them. And it basically says that in verse 13, it says, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. And that was when they went into Egypt. And of course, we're going to look at how we go out from Egypt to take the promised land. So it's important to know. It's also, if you think about it, the period between when Adam was expelled from the garden until Jesus brought restoration back. And God wants us to know that we're no longer going to be strangers in a land that does not belong to us. But we can still feel like that. We can still feel slaves and orphans when God wants us to feel like sons. Because it says there that they came out of that place with many possessions. And God wants us to come out of that place of slavery and being an orphan into a place of sonship and relationship with God. And in verse Genesis 15, 18, it talks about that covenant. God made that covenant, and then to your descendants I have given this land. And he gave them the list of all the ites and things there, which is the promised land of inheritance. Now Romans 4:13 says this: for the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir to the world. God never intended his promise to stay stuck in a small piece of land in the Middle East. Get hold of that, because it was always supposed to go out to the world. And it wouldn't come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It comes through grace, by faith, to the children of God. Our inheritance is both spiritual and physical. Our inheritance is both heavenly and earthly. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven on earth. See, he now has back all the authority that Adam lost to Satan. Through the victory of the cross, he's received it all back to himself. Then he says to the disciples, to the apostles, go therefore. Exactly the same commission that he gave Adam. Go out to the world. He says, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He is with us until the job's done. We'll never have to be orphans or slaves again, because that's his promise. You see, we have an inheritance, which is the family business. What was the family business? Because we need to know that. It was Jesus' business. Adam to Noah to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Joseph to Moses to Joshua to Gideon to Samuel to David to Solomon to all the kings to Jesus to the apostles to the disciples to the church to the world. That same commission is the family business, to bring blessing to the world, to see the world blessed and to see the world receive its inheritance in relationship with Jesus as his son. There were seven covenants made there, and they continue to bring that to the fulfillment of what was promised in the beginning. Our inheritance is freedom from the slavery of Egypt, from the slavery of sin and the systems of the world. Our inheritance is not to be orphans who have no home or family or birthright or blessing. That is not our inheritance. Our inheritance is to have a relationship as a son of God. It comes through the grace of God, realizing the victory of Jesus on the cross. If we are to profess our inheritance and fulfill our destinies, we need to know our true identity as his sons. We need to take a journey that goes from slavery to sonship. Do you feel like orphans? Have you been adopted in the family of God? What is your inheritance? Is it death or life? Is it blessing or cursing? Well, I know which one I want. I want life and blessing. And I want to bring the world from a place of death and cursing, to bring them into life and blessing also. So we're going to go on a journey to create a bridge from slavery to sonship. The characteristics of the Joshua generation, they were inheritors, and we need to understand how they did it. We need to see the characteristics of slaves and orphans and victims who were not inheritors, so we make sure we do not end up there. We need to see the characteristic of sonship. How does the Father father us? So we understand. How do we engage God as Father so we can be true sons? We're going to look at all these things. What is true intimacy? We're going to focus on our spiritual identity, building, strengthening our spirit so we can be the best us that we can be. You can be the best you can be. And that is who God created you to be. And it's not a victim. It's not an orphan. It's not a slave. It's a son. Now, I want to finish with this short story, and I want to pray. Matthew 3:16. Remember, Jesus was illegitimate in the world's eyes. He had no earthly father. So the world saw him as an illegitimate son who had no right to anything in Jewish culture. But God had something different in mind. And in Matthew 3:16, immediately after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens, just like that voice that came out to Jacob, now comes out to Jesus and says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Everybody there heard God legitimize Jesus as his son. So everyone heard it. And then read the same story in Mark chapter 1, verse 10. Immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens. "You," notice, "you are my beloved son, and in you I'm well pleased." God now legitimizes Jesus and recognizes and owns him personally as his son, as his child. God desires to bring that legitimacy to us so that he recognizes us as his children. Now, I want to encourage you, if you want to receive that recognition, I want you to pray. You can stand, you can sit, you can do what you like, but I want you to close your eyes and I want you to see now that you're open and under an open heaven, that heaven has opened over this room right now, and that Father God is standing at the threshold between heaven and earth, and he wants to speak words of affirmation, encouragement, and legitimacy to you. So receive these words in your spirit as if God was speaking directly to you, because exactly that is happening right now. Angels are up and down in this room. Heaven is open. The Spirit of God is descending upon you so that you will experience what God wants you to experience. So just open your hearts, open your spirit, and just begin to listen with your spirit to what God has to say. "I declare you are my beloved son, and I am well pleased with you. I call you my children. I am your father, and you are mine, and I am yours. I legitimize you as my child. I call forth your spiritual identity. I call your spirit to attention. Listen with your spirit to the words I, your heavenly Father, have for you. The Spirit of your Father gives witness to your spirit that you are my son. I bless your spirit with the spirit of sonship and the mindset of sonship. I bless you with a deep heart identity as my very own child, securely loved in my family. I bless you with the settled assurance that I have a future and a hope for you, and I've written your days in my book with love for your best interest and my ultimate glory. I bless you with the deep knowledge that I know what you need, and I have all the resources of the universe to meet that need. Listen with your spirit to my words for you. My spirit testifies to your spirit that you are my child. I bless you with the ears to hear the testimony of the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of knowledge, wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, power and the fear of the Lord. I bless you with being tuned in to me, with eyes for seeing and ears for hearing and a mind for understanding according to the Spirit. I bless you with being led by the fullness of my Spirit of truth to see the things as I see them in the heavenly realms. I bless you with the deep knowledge that you are an heir with your brother Jesus to all my treasuries. I bless you with the confidence that you lack for nothing that you need spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, and practically. I bless you with the sure understanding that I want you to have my blessings and my glory to possess your birthright. I bless you with the desire to press forward to see the glory that I'm revealing. I bless you with a heart that does not rebel or shrink back from the opportunities I put before you daily. I bless you with a hunger for the manifestation of my glory day by day in you and through your life. I declare that you are no longer a slave, an orphan, or a victim. I declare that you are mine and I am yours. I am your inheritance and you are my inheritance. I declare that I am your father and you are my son, and I give you access to your heavenly home. I give you access to the river and tree of life in your heavenly home. I call you to be a gateway of heaven on earth. You are my child, and I call you to be displayed as mature sons on the earth. Now, I want to encourage you to just wait in that place and go over these things again and again and receive the words that God wants to speak into your spirit of who you are, of your identity as his son and child, and all that means in possessing your inheritance. We're on a journey from slavery to sonship. Jesus has done it all on the cross, but we have to take hold of our possession and receive our inheritance today and from now on. Amen? So be willing to really get hold of that, because I know it's a real truth. If you want someone to pray with you again today, maybe for some of the things that were prayed earlier about chains, about coming into the presence of God and the Father, then please feel free to come so that the ministry team will be able to pray with you.